Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find them on the web at ggportland.com. Before we begin, I'd like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So thank you to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Fridge for supporting me. If you'd like to support the channel, help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Today's episode is going to be talking about the very undead zombie tribe, and the tribal support that the zombies are going to be getting, or have gotten, in the newest Innistrad, Midnight Hunt, and Crimson Vow sets. Now, it's not just going to be me talking about our undead overlords. I'm introducing two amazing people who haven't been on the show in a while, so it's about time I got them back on. Reintroducing to the show, Jen and Donnie of the Filthy MTG Casuals. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us, man. Great to be here.
Super excited.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. It's been way too long.
Agreed.
Since we did our insect tribe.
Yes, the lightning build around the insect tribes. Kind of creepy, yeah. Kind of a creepy theme, wouldn't you say, around Innistrad?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, and where can people find your content over the Filthy MTG Casuals if they're interested in learning more about what you guys do?
So you can find me, Cardboard Pimpin, on Instagram, or you can find me, Donnie_FilthyMTGCasuals on Twitter, and then you can find Jen on Instagram as MTG Card Crazy, and then you can find Jen on Twitter as Jen_FilthyMTGCasuals.
All right, sounds good. So back to the thesis of today's episode. We're going to be talking about zombies. They're alive! They're alive! And, again, before the show, we talked about how much tribal support zombies have gotten in the Innistrad Midnight Hunt and the upcoming Innistrad Crimson Vow, and how it kind of feels like there's just so much zombie stuff in there, just generic stuff, that it couldn't all fit in one set. So I'm just going to come right out of the gates firing to you two. What are some of your favorite cards that are just coming out of either of these sets? It doesn't matter which one it's coming out of. Just what are some of your favorite cards that have come out as part of this two-parter set?
So for me, I'm really, really excited about a lot of the blue stuff, the blue support for zombies. The new scab that copies zombies, that is going to be so abused.
The cleaver.
Can you read that out, if you just get Scryfall up or something, just let the listeners know exactly what we're talking about here.
So it's a 3 and a blue for a 2/4 zombie horror. Pay 3, tap, sacrifice another zombie, create 2 tokens that are copies of the sacrificed creature. So I can see where a lot of people are going to be dropping their Undead War Chiefs, or they're going to be dropping their Grave Titans.
It's being non-legendary.
I mean, how amazing. This card is going to get so much play in zombie decks. It's just going to be absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm. So many things you can copy with that.
So many things. So many ways to abuse it. You can copy your lords. I mean, there's just...
Well, like Lord of the Accursed, right? So in a Demir zombie deck, other zombies you control get +1/+1. It's a reprint, but I mean, that's a great one to copy. He's not legendary.
Exactly.
Zombies game medicine.
You got your Death Baron. You got your
Cemetery Reaper.
Exactly. Champion of the Perished. You know, all of these things. Diagraph Colossus is another one.
Oh, yeah, that would be a great one.
Right.
I mean, and then what? There's the new the Kraken, the horror.
Uh-huh.
I like the new Kraken, the big one.
That's great. And then there's a couple of like really big new zombies.
Like the new Kraken is the Rot Tide Gargantua. He's a zombie Kraken with exploit. So when he exploits a creature, each opponent sacrifices a creature, and he's a big old 5/4.
Huh.
And then there's the more corrupt behemoth. It's a 7/6, and it's a zombie giant for 5. 1 black, 4 other. As an additional cast to cost the, or additional cost to cast a spell, sacrifice a creature or pay 1 and a black. You know, so with all of the recursion, with all of the different things, there's so much synergy. It's like you're going to get value out of every single thing that you play if you're, you know, building modern zombies, or if you're, you know, even on the commander side of it. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine Rooftop Storm drawing into just a bunch of good stuff.
Well, and luckily a reprint of Rooftop
Storm. Exactly, in the Commander product. How amazing is that? I mean, you can't not be excited about zombies right now. You just can't. It's just not possible.
Your enthusiasm is infectious there, Donnie.
He's been super hyped about this.
Not quite as infectious as the Phyrexian oil, but it's getting there.
Well, and it's like the new Grolf. Grolf? How do we say it? Grolf?
I say Grolf.
Grolf, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
That's right.
They made him kind of like the previous Giza, right? So Giza, that you could pay a black, sacrifice a creature, tap her, make these 2/2 zombies. Well, now he says all zombies have flying. You pay a blue and sacrifice another non-token creature, and you're getting a certain amount of blue zombies.
Mm-hmm. The fact that
you create an XX.
Yeah,
it's not the number, it's a bigger creature.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the fact that we've got free flying, essentially free flying on zombies.
Yes.
That's
he says zombies you control have flying.
That's a beautiful thing. And with all of the recursion, yeah, he's going to be a target, but okay, yeah, he dies. I'm just going to reanimate him and bring him back.
There's actually another zombie lord like that from War of the Spark, too, which does the same thing. I'm blanking on the name right now. I really should know this, given the fact that was a set I started in. But yeah.
It was a black and blue one, right?
No, it was mono blue.
Mono blue.
I used to run it way back in the day, like way back when I first started playing Magic, and I was starting with zombies because it was a very easy tribe to start with. And yeah, had a lot of support, a lot of really cool cards. I mean, I know fans of the show have kind of gotten sick about me talking about my boy Lazatep Reaver, but I mean, you know, when you're starting the game right out with that set and you get two bodies, you get 2/3 and 2 bodies for 2, I mean, the value is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Eternal Sky Lord.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a zombie wizard. When he enters the battlefield, you amass 2, and then zombie tokens you control have flying. They actually reprinted him, too. So he got a reprint in the new stuff in the new Commander decks, the ones that just came out for Midnight Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's even better. I mean, who's not afraid of flying zombies? I mean, really?
Everybody?
I think it's the most amazing thing. Like, I keep toying with the idea of building Azorius zombies just to be different, because then you can pull all the
hide
zombies from Amonkhet. And
yeah, Amonkhet had a lot of really nice. I mean, I was actually just looking earlier today for cards, just for a different deck in the white card section, and just the number of nice little mono white zombie synergies, right? Or at least synergies within white color identity zombies. Was pretty awesome. Just, you know, get zombies on the battlefield, get +1/+1. I think it was Mummy Paramount or something like that.
Yes.
So yeah, there's Jen, that's a really excellent idea. You're thinking like I do. Always take something take the path less traveled and still end up beating face. Because people just don't think that can happen, but it totally happens.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for white and blue zombies. I think there's a lot there that could be really cool and kind of scary, but still fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Even go so far as to do black, white, and blue.
Ooh, Esper zombies, yes.
I think as for zombies, I think there's a lot, especially now with all the additional support. I think the bench has gotten so deep that, you know, three colors. Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally viable.
Interesting. Interesting.
Esper zombie commander that people play with, right? What is her name? But there's an Esper zombie commander. Now I gotta go find her.
Verena
Lichqueen. Yeah.
That's the one.
I'm really liking three color decks now, and it's kind of I've been doing the monocolor, I've been doing the two color thing, and like I've got several five color decks, but I don't have anything that's three or four colors. So I mean, I'm definitely interested in working my way into that space for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Esper zombies is a thing. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Interesting. Because I decided that, you know, since it's me, if I wanted to go with the zombie challenge, I'd actually end up building Boros zombies. Yes, you heard that right. Boros zombies.
Boros zombies is 100% doable. And especially when you've got things like Goblin Bombardment.
Yeah,
and,
it's great.
You know, you just go wide with zombies. Go wide
with whole bunch zombies. Almost everything on here, if you look at Scryfall, which I'm doing right now, almost everything is a common. So you just throw these in. You do get some real bangers like God Eternal Oketra and Neheb, Dreadhorde Champion, and original Neheb, the Eternals. So, I mean, there's some really interesting stuff. And just in four colors, you can play zombies. You could play four color and just omit green and do this too. I mean, there's just so many ways you can take zombies these days.
Yep, absolutely.
Even think about red zombies.
Oh yeah, well, I mean,
but there's a handful of red zombies.
Yeah, and then there's tons of stuff in red that are perfect for the what you're already doing with zombies. You know, you're just, I mean, you could use them as cannon fodder in red. That just, you know, that's a beautiful thing.
Nobody would see a four color zombie deck.
Zombie cannon goes burr. Come on, that should totally be a thing.
Yeah, I think there's like a card. Is it in red? I know Mono White Border, again, a huge friend of the show, has talked about this on multiple occasions. I know there's kind of an off color zombie card that has like sacrifice a zombie for two damage or something. I don't quite remember what it is. I know someone out there is going to know the card. I know Peter's probably going to know the card. I don't remember what it is, but it's kind of silly.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So that's the exact kind of thing that I'm looking to do. I'm looking for that, you know, sneak around the corner play that nobody really is like, wait a minute, where did that come from? How did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a card called Deadapult.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a rare out of Plane Shift, actually. It's an enchantment for 2 and a red, and it says red sacrifice a zombie, Deadapult deals 2 damage to any target.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, so all of a sudden, my Boros zombies idea now has a win condition.
Yep, now it's got legs. Absolutely. Yep.
And, I mean, white does have enough ways to recur creatures, too, if you play your cards right. This is actually a very viable strategy. It's honestly, it's one of those things I kind of harp on my channel a lot, is you never know until you try something. So if anyone out there is kind of curious to try something, give the red zombies a try or give the white zombies a try. Just, you never know until you actually try if you'll like them or not.
What about
Jeskai zombies?
What about Orzhov? What about Orzhov zombies and spirits?
Sure.
Because you've got all the synergies where, you know, a creature goes to your graveyard, you get a spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially with the new cards coming in.
See, with the new stuff. So, I mean, that's viable. That's 100% viable.
Orzhov is completely viable, especially since you have so many ways to get creatures back from the grave, too. Recursion, loops, if you want to... If you're trying to go the higher power, quote-unquote, you can do a lot of loops. If you're trying to do the lower power, you can just do a whole bunch, just get a boatload of tokens out there and just swing in or sacrifice them, whatever. There's just so many things you can do in Orzhov. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, zombie aristocrats should be a thing. It should 100% be a thing.
It definitely is.
Oh, man. No, I just keep going back to this red zombie thing. That's what I keep.
Sorry, Jen. I have planted this terrible seed of like a little bit of my deck building style has just been transferred to you through Discord.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just sending little brain waves here. Just Jen, look at the red zombies. Ooh.
Well, now I've always like love Jeskai, but I've never been able to build a Jeskai deck that I really enjoyed. But I think Jeskai zombies might be kind of fun.
Like, yeah, it would be because you have access to so many solid commanders that just even if nothing else give you value. You have access to Jeskai Ascendancy, which is a really good sleeper card.
That would be in so many so things. Mean. Yeah.
Well, just call it zombies in the U.S.
Jeskai. Right? Oh my god. Oh, you have to build that now. Build that.
Zombies in
the USA. We are challenging you right now. We are challenging you to a Jeskai zombie build. You have to do it. You have to do it.
Yep. Sorry, Jen. It's been recorded and it will be released here soon enough. So it is on record. You are doing this.
We're putting this out into the universe. That has to happen.
And then I'm gonna have to play against it at some point with one of my other color shifted strategy.
Absolutely.
Let's do.
Absolutely, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and again, Deadapult would be perfect for that kind of deck. It's currently 22 cents.
Right.
That's perfect.
How funny.
That's amazing.
Yep. What a neat card. I never would have thought to look through red. No, that's super neat.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't believe Wizards hasn't gone into green zombies. I feel like it would just be perfect to just make them a five-color tribe. But the fact that they're in four colors is pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be probably the happiest boy on the planet if we got green zombies. I would be, mm-hmm. Yes. I would be, because green is like, that's my color. That's, green is, if I had to choose one color.
Two green zombies, Ghoul Tree and God Eternal Ronus.
Oh, yes, I forgot about Ronus. Yes. I completely forgot about him.
So we're there.
So we make a five color zombie, but I'm not going to. I'm still sticking with my Jeskai.
Yeah.
Jeskai's the build for sure.
Yeah, Jeskai, that sounds so cool. I'm glad I've been able to give you that idea. Or help out, at least.
Five-color zombie good stuff.
Five-color good stuff and zombies.
No.
Side, and a side of zombies.
Yeah, just a little side. Just a little side order.
I'm just going to go look up some legendary creatures now that can be the commander for my Jeskai deck.
Yeah, I mean, five color, I mean, again, if I was thinking about building a five color zombie deck, I'd probably go with Giganta, actually, personally. Because you end up getting all the colors you need to cast whatever you need. So.
Yeah, Giganta or Morphon. Yeah, absolutely.
Morphon would be good, too.
Yeah.
But I always choose the under the radar picks a little bit, so that's just me being me.
I get it.
But they would both be very good.
Oh,
in that kind of situation. Holy and honestly, you wouldn't even need to run one color if you didn't have to. I mean, you could just kind of pick and choose on that one. I don't know.
Exactly. It's just open.
Yeah. So even Jeskai Zombies, you could still probably run a five-color commander, and it wouldn't really matter.
That's true. That's
very true. That's very true.
I always forget about that way of doing things. So, yeah.
Yeah,
doable.
I play five color decks because I have five color commanders.
But
they're not really five color decks. Most of the time, they're like three colors and a couple splashes. It's not like I'm not metricing anything out. But
now I got so much research to do.
I just have to say that, like, out of all of the two new sets.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite card, art-wise, is Aim for the Head, because it perfectly exemplifies everything that is funny and relatable about the game to me. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, MJ, but
I just looked it up. Yeah,
it's literally a zombie with an arrow through its forehead. And, like, his eyes are crossed and he's staring at it. I mean, it's just like, oops.
That's funny, actually. It actually almost looks like an object of curiosity. And given the flavor text there, it's almost like the zombie is just like, huh, this is interesting.
Yeah. Like, every time.
What's this?
Yep.
Yeah, that is great.
I saw that and I instantly fell in love with that card.
Kind of reminds me of the old art. I like it. I do.
Absolutely.
Poppet Stitcher, too.
That's fun. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Poppet Stitcher's good. I mean, there's just so much good stuff.
I'm lost. Okay.
Cellar's good. Crowded Crypt is good. You know, we've got more Lord effects. We've got just...
They did. I can't believe they did more Lord effects for zombies. You know, because we needed more buffers for zombies.
You know, I mean, it's like... Zulaport Cutthroat is an amazing card, but with the zombies and the depth, it's just... Yeah, I don't even... I'm so excited to play Crimson, the Commander decks. I'm so excited to play the Crimson Vow Commander decks against the Midnight Hunt Commander decks.
Yes.
I have to get a pod where everybody's running one.
Yeah.
You know, just to see how everything slides out.
Innistrad.
They're well built. Mm-hmm. You know, they're great right out of the box. We learned that with the Midnight Hunt ones.
Yes, super fun.
And, you know, everything that we've seen from the Crimson Vow ones, they're going to be just as good. And I can't wait to get my hands on the product and play it. I'm super excited about... I was kind of on the fence about Midnight Hunt, you know, because the werewolves are... Mm-hmm. They're not as great as they could be.
But there are so many other good aspects of the set.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of, what's been done for humans? I know we're supposed to be talking about zombies, but what's going on for humans in these two sets? I mean...
It's amazing. It really is.
You know, Jen just finished building... What did you finish? You built...
Adeline. Right.
And it's like, it's Mono White Najeela. It's disgusting. And it's just humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter's been talking about that a lot. He's got a deck with her at the helm, and it seems to work fairly well. So yeah, there's a lot of cool tribal synergies just coming out of these Innistrad sets. And again, I take that back. I do have a human tribal deck, so I can't make the point I was about to make. But yeah, it's still a lot of cool cards coming out of these sets. I don't have most of the tribes that are getting support, so. For me, it's kind of limited. But again, I just love finding silly cards that do weird things. So anyway, back to the zombies a little bit. Is there kind of a sleeper card or a couple of sleeper cards you think might be coming out, especially in Crimson Vow, that you feel like people might be sleeping on a little bit or might not really know how good it is until they play it?
There's this one drop 3/3 that, like, I'm really, really, really excited about. The Cobbled Lancer. It's a 3/3 for one blue. As an additional cost to cast a spell, you exile a creature card from your graveyard. Well, you know what? I'm playing zombies. I'm going to have creatures in my graveyard. Mm-hmm. More than likely, there's going to be one I'm willing to sacrifice. And then you also can pay 3 and a blue and exile it from your graveyard to draw a card. So not only do you get a 3/3 for one blue, yeah, you got to pitch a body, big deal. But then you can pitch it later in the game to draw a card. I don't see people not playing this card. I think it's, and it uncommon. I mean, I just think it's, even if you never do anything but pay one blue for a 3/3 and drop a body from your graveyard. I mean, it's just, I think it's great. I think it should see play. I, for one, I'm definitely going to be playing it because I just think it's, I mean, a 3/3 for one blue. You don't see that. You just don't. And I mean, I don't see the having to pitch a creature from your graveyard as a downside. I just don't, especially because it's a zombie and it's a horse and the art's pretty cool.
Right.
So what about for you, Jen? Any sleeper cards you think that people might be overlooking in this set?
I don't know if I've really thought of like a sleeper card that I think is going to come out and people aren't expecting. I mean, there's just a lot here that I'm looking forward to, like the Headless Rider. So the Headless Rider is a rare one, amazing art. And whenever the Headless Rider or another non-token zombie you control dies, you get to create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. I just feel like that card's already broken and it's not out yet.
Yeah, it's already quite expensive over a TCG player if you look at the sideball bit, especially for extended art.
Yes. But I think that's going to be a super fun card. I mean, even for people like me who don't set out to break things, I think it would just be a super fun card to play with.
Yeah, it definitely seems really good. Because, again, it's non-token zombies. Well, if you're creating tokens, it's not the best. But if right. you're not running a lot of tokens, or if you're just running 26 to 30 zombies, let's say, for sake of comparison here, this is really good. And yes. it also yeah. includes itself, too, which is important.
Yep, yes. absolutely. Headless Rider's good. The Gravespawn Sovereign. I'm a huge fan of tap 5 untapped creatures and do something. I think that's just great because, I mean, let's be honest. I play a lot of token decks. Mm-hmm. So being able to tap 5 creatures and get an effect out of it, I think is amazing. And the Gravespawn Sovereign is definitely something I look forward to playing in a heavy token deck. Because it does the thing. You get to put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It doesn't come into play tapped. There's no downside. Yes, you're paying 6 for a 3/3, but with that ability, it's a mid-game card. You're going to get at least one activation off of it if you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
At the minimum.
Seems good. So, since we've been talking about zombies so much, I guess I had to wonder, definitely had to ask, why are zombies one of your favorite tribes, if not your favorite tribe?
So, for me, it's always been, zombies are just value creatures. They stack well. They run the gamut on ETBs and abilities and everything else. And it's a very resilient strategy. I'm a huge fan of being able to come back from a board wipe. Nothing does that better than black. And with the amount of ETBs and so on and so forth that you can get with zombies, it's always been a really, really great tribe for me, because you still have to kind of work hard to do like the really big things, but like the lesser things aren't as complicated. You can do a lot more.
You can do a lot with a little energy.
Exactly. You know, you get stuck on 3 lands. Well, guess what? You're still casting zombies. You're still getting ETBs. You still have recursion. You know,
that's true.
It's not the kind of strategy that is super mana intensive. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. I like things that organically just do the thing. You know, you're not relying on 3 or 4 card combos or any of that other stuff. It might take you a little while to get there, but I mean, that's why I'm a filthy casual, because I don't think there's anything better than Battlecruiser Magic. That's just, you know, that's my gig.
Preach it.
We also like token decks, so zombies speak to us on a very token level, because we both build a lot of token decks.
Yes. Tokens are life. I don't care what anybody says.
We do love our token.
All right, before we wrap up, is there anything else about any of the zombie cards coming out in these sets or that have kind of come out in recent years that you just kind of wanted to talk about? Anything you wanted to shout out? Just anything really cool that you just really want to get out there in the content universe?
I'm going to say this once. Okay. I don't care what anybody says or how they feel about it. But Grimgrin is a viable commander. I don't care what. I know he's big. I know he's clunky. And I know he's stupid. But Grimgrin is still a viable commander, and I will die on that hill.
All right, sounds good. I actually have a Grimgrin deck in my playgroup.
I'm rebuilding Grimgrin. I'm changing up the theme a little bit, but yes, expect if you're facing me in a pod, expect to see Grimgrin coming very, very soon. Absolutely.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. What about you, Jen? Any hot takes? Anything you just want to say to the audience about zombies?
More people should play with Field of the Dead.
I mean,
I don't think enough people play with that card. I think more people should play with Field of the Dead.
That's fair.
That's what I got.
You mean beyond landfall players?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Beyond landfall players.
People should play with more non-basics, a variety of non-basics. That's just kind of my thing right now. I'm kind of focusing more on that.
Well, so, I'll let you know that I do run Field of the Dead, the one copy that I had back when I didn't really understand how broken it was. I do run that in my colorless deck because I run like 32 different lands in there just because they were all colorless and I didn't want to run waste. So it was too cheap to buy more.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
So yeah, Field of the Dead just feels so perfect in there just because, you know, almost every time I get a land drop, it at least counts towards Field of the Dead at that point. So it works pretty well. And I'm not trying to landfall or anything, but you really I'm not going to lie about that. It's a little funky. That's kind of one of those funny mana bases that I had just because like, oh, hey, wastes can't be found via any kind of tutoring effect. So cool. Guess I'll just find every single random colorless land I have available. And then everything else that didn't go in that deck ended up in the Gila. So you see, kids, this is what happens when you have bulk bins. Things happen. Mistakes are made. And all of a sudden you have two kick-ass decks coming out the other end and a little less bulk.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, man. That's great. All right. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to talk with me about zombies today. I think we found a new deck for Jen now that it's on air, now that it's been recorded for posterity for all time. I think you're going to have to build that or, someone will come after you, I guess. I don't know. She comes shambling after you, I guess.
She is going to build it. I will make sure that she does.
All right. When you do eventually build that deck, Jen, where can people find you if they want to, I don't know, play a game against Jeskai Zombies?
Oh, well, you can find me on Instagram under MTG Card Crazy. You can find me on Twitter. It's my little at is filthy MTG casual, but then it says Jen _ filthy MTG casuals. And I'm always ready to play. Like we do a lot of playing over spell table.
All right. Sounds good. What about you, Donnie?
So Instagram, it's Cardboard Pimpin'. I do lots of I've got large trade lists. I just did I think I traded 150 cards just this last week. And then I host a pod every Friday night. Frequently you'll find me or our friend Corey from the Commander Crew posting on Twitter, just saying, hey, who wants to get a game, need one, whatever. We probably play three or four nights a week. And we'll play anything, and we will play with anyone. Just make sure that you have a good attitude and you want to have fun, and just come get some.
Oh, yeah. I fully intend to start bringing some janky heat if given the opportunity for that.
Absolutely.
I excel at building decks that do something. I'm not really sure what they do, but they do something. So, all right. And if you're interested in hearing any of the back catalog of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find that on the usual podcast outlets. That is Spotify, Google, Apple, CastBox, Breaker, Player FM, MTG Casts, and a whole lot more. I can never remember all the name of all of them anyway. So, you know, wherever most podcasts are found, you can probably find my cast on there if you haven't already. And you can find me on Twitter at MTGNQuarantine. If you find the really happy-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you've found the right place. And before we end today's episode, I'd like to give another huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/MTGNQuarantine. So another huge thank you to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Fridge for supporting the show. If you want to help support the show and make more help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And I very much hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, and you'll go shambling out to your local game store very soon to pick up your Innistrad Crimson Vow product, whatever it is, sealed, singles, bundles, whatever, dice, I don't care. Just head on over to your local game store and pick all that stuff up. So you've been listening to the MTG and Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.